Hoopball Podcast listeners, are you a fantasy expert and want to write or podcast for Hoopball? Do you have aspirations of covering a team? Are you a master of sales and want to earn some cash on the phones? Well, we've got good news. Hoopball's recruiting. If you think you have what it takes, hit us up at Hoopball Fantasy on Twitter or by emailing teamhoopball at hoop-ball.com. Again, that's at Hoopball Fantasy on Twitter or emailing teamhoopball at hoop-ball.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hoop Ballers! Welcome back to Today in Sports Betting. This is Today in Sports Betting. A Hoopball presentation, hoop-ball.com. You can check it out on Twitter, at Hoopball Fantasy, at Hoopball Tweets. And then I am at DALE007. I am Devin Ellington. And like I said, this is a hoop-ball.com presentation. All the fantasy basketball content you could probably ask for and a little more. You can check that out. Normally, I would do a MyBookie read right now, but because of COVID-19, we are pausing that transaction at the moment. So I've been trying to find a fundraiser that someone is working on in their local area, see if they would like to come on and talk about it. We can get some tweeting exposure about it and try to do some good for someone's community if there are some idea rumblings out there or someone that has anything going as far as some good that can be done. Today's going to be fun because I am joined by a Hoopball contributor as well as an NFL media manager. But I don't want to do any disservice, so I will let him tell all about what he has going on in his past, current, and future endeavors. I'm excited. This is the first time we've done something together, and it's a cross-podcast platform here. Brandon Marcus is going to be talking a little bit about some Clippers stuff, but without further ado, I am going to go ahead and let him speak and open up the curtain here. Brandon, thank you so much for joining me on this episode. You know, I've been following your tweets for quite some time now, and the stuff you do for Hoopball is great, and I'm excited to actually hear a lot about this NFL stuff too.
Devin, man, thanks for having me on. Much appreciated. You guys have been killing it over at Hoopball Gaming. Pretty incredible what you guys have done in the couple of months that you guys had that podcast. Obviously, sports kind of killed you a little bit, going down flames. But what you guys are doing is great. So it's glad to be on. Happy to be with you. First of all, congratulations on the new baby.
Well, thank you.
Very, very special moment in your life, and the fact that you're just powering through and doing your Hoopball Gaming stuff shows to your dedication. But yeah, man, glad to be here and happy to chat about whatever you want.
Yeah, and I will backtrack a little bit. I don't want to sell you short or anything. I forgot to give out your Twitter handle also, and that is at BD Marcus, correct?
Yep.
Awesome. Okay. I just want to make sure everyone knows where to find you, see your work. So let's start off with some of the UC Irvine stuff, the play-by-play stuff you do. How did you get into that? What was your first play-by-play experience?
So I actually got into play-by-play because I was born and raised here in the LA area and did not have cable growing up. So I would actually listen to Lakers games growing up, as funny as that is, as someone that covers the Clippers now and is a huge Clippers fan. I used to be a huge Lakers fan, and so I would listen to Chick Hearn, who was an incredible voice here in LA, one of the most famous broadcasters in basketball history, and did a tremendous job during the Showtime Lakers and with Kobe and Shaq, and then he passed away. I believe it was in 2011. So I would listen to him on the radio, and then the rare games that were simulcast on KCAL 9 here in LA, and I said that I wanted to do that. That's what I wanted to do growing up, and so I followed that passion all the way until college when I majored in broadcast journalism at USC. I was the assistant sports director at the student radio station, got a chance to call USC football, USC basketball, USC baseball, USC soccer. So did all those things. Went to two different Rose Bowls that I broadcast, I believe. And then I also called the Emerald Bowl my final year when we played against Boston College. That was the end of Pete Carroll at USC. Yeah. So it was something that I continued to do. And then out of college, I was a broadcaster at Cal Poly Pomona doing men's and women's basketball. And then this is the basketball side of things. And then I went over to Cal State Fullerton with the Titans, where I was the men's and women's basketball guy again. I actually was the broadcaster during Cal State Fullerton's run to the NCAA tournament. So they won the Big West tournament. They got a chance to play against Purdue in Detroit is where the regional was, or the round of 64, whatever you want to call it, where Fullerton, Fullerton got blasted. Didn't get a chance to actually call it on the radio because of some rights issues, but still got a chance to travel with them on the private plane, all that kind of fun stuff. And then I went over to UC Irvine, where I currently am in the women's basketball broadcaster. So that's the basketball side of things. And I've also done minor league baseball in the Angels system, rookie level and single A. So that was in Orem, Utah, and also in Burlington, Iowa.
That's really exciting. You've done all sorts of projects and play-by-play analysis all over. You got your thumbprint in a couple different sports.
Yes.
What would you say, not, you know, like take passion out of it, you know, let's say, you know, but out of pure enjoyment, which assignment or what sport that you covered, do you think that you just kind of had the most, I would say, giddy approach to, just because you enjoyed it the most?
That's an easy one, actually. It would be basketball. I really enjoy watching basketball and the pace of basketball. Broadcasting baseball and, frankly, watching baseball could be difficult for 9 innings and 3 hours or even 4 hours extra innings. So basketball would definitely be number one, and then Premier League would be number two. I've gotten into that over the last couple of years.
And
having that set time frame of, you know, it's going to be 90 minutes plus the 15 for halftime. And I played soccer growing up from age 4 all the way till high school. So I'm a big soccer guy as well. So basketball and soccer would be the top two.
So how do you feel about Bundesliga returning?
I watched a little bit, actually. It was eerie, very eerie to to watch soccer where you can hear the players yelling. Because it's funny, you grow up playing soccer and everyone talks about communication, how important that is on the soccer field. And when you're watching a game, you don't hear it. You're like, well, are they actually communicating as much as you think? And then, of course, you take the fans out of the equation. You take the broadcasters talking the entire time, whether it be an Arlo White, Graham Lasso, whoever it is that's on the call, and you hear the gnat sound of the players talking, which was cool to hear that, but also very surreal. And it shows how important fans are to sports, not just soccer in general. But if you mean you look at a venue like Anfield, for example, where Liverpool plays, and how important the cop is to that team to have their fan support, and you take that out and it just becomes guys just playing soccer, which is basic and beautiful in its own way, but also is better to have it with fans because of what the fans add. But Bundesliga was cool. I mean, good for them to get there up and running. It was very odd to see the substitutes so far apart, frankly, because they were all going to make it on the field probably at some point. So I don't know what that was intended to do when they're really going to be on top of each other at some point anyways. And then you have the ball is not getting changed. So when you have a throw in, these guys are all touching it. So it's interesting to see how these leagues are finding ways to just come up with what makes sense in going forward with the sport, no matter what it is that's going on.
Sure. So between the K-League, you know, the Korean League, the Super Cup, and then the Bundesliga, it's been kind of cool to take a different pair of, spectacles too, because it's obviously I know Borussia Dortmund and Schalke and, you know, some of the major ones, but, you know, it's really cool to get into some of the other teams that have been maybe established for a while, but not as talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So
you played soccer as a youth. Is that what you said?
Yes.
All right. Now I want to talk a little bit about the fantasy specter of things, because you and Dan, you know, Dan Bespris, our leader over here alongside Aaron Bruski for HoopBall, are all very talented at fantasy basketball. And it's quite impressive. So I was interested to hear, you know, one fantasy story that you were maybe most bummed about that you and the collective, you know, general public, rest of us are not going to have the opportunity of potentially seeing play out. So, you know, I wanted to see if Miles Turner was going to completely flip and then start producing his projected value, for example.
I think it would have been fun to see if a guy like Christian Wood could carry teams in the playoffs. I think that would be
sustainability.
Someone that really burst onto the scenes and everyone was talking about during the trade deadline and who would be the biggest winner, and he clearly was, and he just started to dominate and really was winning matchups and head-to-head and was helping roto teams as well. So I think it would have been just to see how he impacted things. And also the other one would have been what players coming back from injuries would have played a role down the stretch, whether it be a guy like Carl Anthony Towns that was projected to possibly come back, whether it be someone like Ben Simmons, was he able to make it back in time? These guys that were battling injuries, who would have actually been there to help teams down the stretch? And frankly, now we don't know. And the fact that leagues, by the way, including Yahoo, are still not paying out is really bad. I mean, it really,
it's a bad look.
The league is completely different from where it was when it shut down. You have players that may come back. You now have a guy like Bogdanovich that's out for the year. He's not going to play a role. It's just silly. It's just, if you're in a league that's a head to head or something, and you can't pay out the playoffs, it's tough to figure out who you pay. But if you're in a roto league and there's games cap, very easy to average things out and pay out accordingly.
Sure. Now, how many years have you been not only, you know, like talking about or covering, but like playing fantasy basketball? What, if you could tell me, what was the first basketball season that you partook fantasy in?
That's a good question. I don't actually know the exact year. I've been playing, though, since I was in high school. So it's probably been about 15 to 20 years that I've been playing fantasy sports. Competitively, less so. I mean, probably about 10 or so more competitively. I mean, I was in public leagues on Yahoo or something when I started. And my brother was the reason why I started getting into fantasy sports and sports in general. I have a brother that's 6 years older. And so he was into sports and I kind of followed suit, and I became big into fantasy basketball and fantasy baseball. Those are my top two. And then eventually fantasy football came into the fold, and I've actually done fantasy Premier League the last couple of years. So I've gone crazy when it comes to fantasy because of my love for fantasy sports.
Sure. And I mean, you say that all pretty much stemmed from, you'd say, like the impact your brother had as far as your love of sports?
Yeah, no doubt. Just someone that was kind of my best friend growing up, and being that older guy was someone that I followed in his footsteps. So he was an Angels fan. And that's why back when Marcel Lachman was the manager, so I would follow in his footsteps as an Angels fan. He was never really a fan of an NBA team. I think he was kind of a Lakers fan back in the day. And I was a Lakers fan up until the three-peat from 2000 to 2002. And during that time, I was kind of dabbling with the Darius Miles, Corey Maggette type Clippers. Yeah. And then I became just a Clippers fan ever since.
I'm glad you brought up some of those names and such, because one of the things that I do with myself and then also whatever sports conversations with my buddies I have is there's a lot of like reminiscence of like old rosters or teams or like people you may or may not have remember, like Bonzi Wells popped up in my head the other day.
He and his headband.
I maybe later in the show I wanted to maybe dissect a couple of those older Clipper teams, like you said, the Darius Miles. I used to have a Lamar Odom jersey whenever I was in sixth grade.
Loved Odom. I was heartbroken when he went to the Lakers.
So I told you off camera I wanted to dig into this NFL media hoopla.
Yeah.
Let's do it. When did this start? You said, or I think you told me about 10 years.
So I graduated college and I knew somebody that I went to camp with, and she mentioned that her friend worked at NFL Network and was interested. So I said, of course, and I was hired as a logger. So I would go in on Sundays and I would sit at the computer and I would literally type play for play. I would say, for example, Priest Holmes rush for +2, and then I would do replay low end zone, replay high end zone, and then I would do the next play, and I would do something like, I don't know, Patrick Mahomes pass to Dwayne Bowe for +8, something like that. And so I would be a logger, and I did that for a year. And at the same time, digital media, the .com side, needs someone to help them out with their shows at night, because they would clip the shows like Game Day Final. So and also do VOs for their fantasy show. So I started doing some of that stuff after my logging shift, and then .com stole me away completely, and I would work 40 hours, 7 months out of the year, and then I would go do minor league baseball, and then I would come back and do the NFL 7 months out of the year thing again, because it's either 7 months, 40 hours, or year-round, 30 hours or less is the way they kind of do it. So I did that, and I was with the .com side for eight and a half years. And then recently in I think it was June of 2019, I moved over to the media management side. And so I'm a media manager, which means that I basically restore old tapes that we are getting ready, because we're moving over to the Inglewood building where the SoFi Stadium is. So NFL Network's been moving everything over there. And so I'm helping put everything in the cloud, essentially, with a different term. But I'm helping restore everything and then send it off to the cloud, make sure all the metadata that we need. So when someone searches, for example, Tom Brady, they're able to get all the footage of Tom Brady. Or if they're looking for a certain show, Total Access, one of our shows, and looking for the date, that's all up there. So I'm restoring old shows, old B-roll, stuff like that, and getting it ready to go to our new building.
That is a really awesome immersive inside look. I appreciate you digging into that a little further.
Yeah.
I've actually been indulging myself into a ton of football lives, especially with the quarantine and such. I think the favorite one I watched was the John Randall and Lynn Swann one, talking about, you know, and you being a USC guy, I'm sure you can appreciate, or maybe not, with his athletic director run. I don't know your stance on that.
It's been a messy couple of years at USC.
No, that was really awesome. It was really cool and insightful to see those two guys being so such contrasting characters, but such close teammates.
Yeah, they do a good job with the football lives. It's interesting to see just the look you get. Actually, so part of my producer editor role was I actually was in charge of posting the entire shows and also clipping up the football lives. And
I've enjoyed it
I would sometimes watch them, and like the 8-9 minute segments posted.com, they do a really good job. It's very similar to the 30 for 30s that ESPN does. But that's definitely one of the best things in terms of getting a look behind the scenes at some of these players and getting a connection to those guys.
You know, we talked about the Clips a little bit so far, but we talked about after that three-peat, it was when you pretty much made the jump. What has been your favorite moment, you know, because since you've made the jump, you know, the Clippers have actually, you know, they've had some success, you know, in an upward fashion, especially with the Doc Rivers years, CP3. But what was your favorite, you know, like memory or maybe run that you guys had within the season, or maybe a favorite player that went under the radar or a year since you became a full-time Clippers fan?
I would say that the Lob City Clippers were probably the most fun to watch recently. But the reason why I became a fan was because of those Odom, McGetty, Brand, Darius Miles, Quentin Richardson, those Clippers, Chris Kaman. Yeah,
Chris Kaman. Yeah,
the caveman. Yeah. So those guys really got me into being a huge fan. My biggest memories would be 2012, the Memphis comeback when they just used the pride of Nick Young to come back, and he hit three straight threes to get them back into it. And then also Chris Paul's game winner against San Antonio in 2015 to win game seven against the Spurs at home. And then I was at game three of Rockets Clippers the year that they blew that 3-1 lead. I was at game three when Austin Rivers went absolutely berserk. And so being there for that was a lot of fun. So those are my favorite games, and my favorite teams. I mean, it's interesting because I can't say right now that the Kawhi, as much as I love Kawhi and PG, I can't say this team is my favorite because it's been so short-lived. But the Lob City Clippers and then just the fun time Clippers of the early 2000s will probably be the best groups because that's when they really started to go and make some noise. I mean, 2006 when they made the playoffs they beat Denver in the first round. They were slated to take on the Lakers, but the Lakers lost to the Suns. Then the Clippers lost to the Suns, I think, in seven. That's when you started to get a feeling that the Clippers could actually be good.
So you like Mike Dunleavy then, senior?
I liked Dunleavy initially, and then I just kind of soured on him at the end, like a lot of Clippers fans did.
That was going to be my follow-up question because I wasn't sure. Because personally, I like him. But that's outsider looking at. I just kind of like his coaching style and the teams that he put together, like those guys you talked about. Mm-hmm. But I was always curious of how the conglomerate, the cumulus of Clippers fans perceived him or what their general feelings were.
Yeah, I mean, they were good. Yeah, they were good when he was there. And then they kind of didn't exceed expectations. I mean, they kind of hit a plateau and they weren't getting better. So it's interesting. You look at the coaches they've had, whether it be a Dunleavy, a Vinny Del Negro, an Alvin Gentry, and now a Doc Rivers. I mean, they've gone through so many different types of coaches. They even had Kim Hughes, who was an assistant coach that got elevated to an interim coach. They've gone through so many different coaches, but now that you have Doc, you kind of understand how good he is as a coach. And it's you look back, I know you had Greg on for the talk about the Bulls, and you look at Phil Jackson and how coaching is not just coaching on the court. It's also being able to manage all of these personalities, and Doc's ability to do that for as long as he did with Chris and with JJ and DeAndre and Blake shows how good of a coach he is on and off the floor.
Yeah, I can't second that without any more enthusiasm. That's for sure. I love Doc Rivers. I think we're obviously, I think you're probably my older brother's age. So like I was watching those Boston teams that he was coaching whenever I was running through early high school, late middle school. So I think that's where I really started liking Doc Rivers. Not too familiar of his work before that. I know he was on some great staffs.
Yeah.
And then he had some success as a player also. But from what I've seen on his coaching prowess, it's pristine. It's pretty great. I like the way he coaches with ferocity. So.
Yeah, he's awesome. I'm very grateful to have him as head coach. And it's interesting because you look back at yesterday's clips that came out when he was on Ernie Johnson's podcast, I believe it was, and he was talking about how he took over and then they immediately traded for J.J. Redick. And that's when Donald Sterling said that he doesn't like white players, or Annie Roser said that Donald Sterling doesn't like white players on his team, and so not going to go through with it. And basically Doc is saying, you got to be kidding me, like I'm going to quit. And then finally they accepted J.J. coming to the Clippers. And so what Doc has had to deal with, I mean, you talk about that whole Sterling saga, right? But when they're playing against the Warriors and those tapes coming out from TMZ and what he had to deal with and to get his team through that series tells you a lot about who he is.
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely got mental fortitude, that's for sure.
Yes.
He definitely instills it in his teams, and it shows.
Yeah.
Now, and I think you glazed over this, but I think it was something that stuck out to me a little bit because I actually just watched the 30 for 30 on the USC teams, the Trojan War 30 for 30.
Yeah.
And so you said you were doing football, basketball, play-by-play in your college days and covering and writing about, you know, some of those teams, right? Like the Lindell White years and the Matt Leinart.
Just missed those guys. I got to campus in 2006. So I was there. My quarterbacks were John David Booty, Mark Sanchez, and the first year of Barkley. So I got Booty for one, Sanchez for two, and Barkley for one.
Sanchez was good for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, he took us to two Rose Bowls, so he was really good. And then Barkley, he took over as a freshman, and we went to the Emerald Bowl my final year. Sanchez was good, man. He was really good. They had a great team. Joe McKnight, who passed away.
Oh, yeah, running back.
Yep, he was tremendous. Yeah. So they had some good players over the years. I mean, you look at guys that
reminded me a lot like Joe Mixon.
Yeah. McKnight is just – he's quick. He was kind of like a poor man's Reggie Bush in the fact that he could do many different things on the field, whether it be as a receiver or running back or in the return game as well. So we had a lot of receivers come through. I mean, those years of Cushing, Maualuga, Clay Matthews. I mean, there were some good linebackers over the years. Yeah. And then Taylor Mays, who was an incredible safety at the time.
Yep.
So we had some good players, and it was fun to be there for that. Just unfortunately never won a title while I was there, but three Rose Bowls, can't be upset about it.
Matt Khalil was there with you too, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, okay. I just remember watching USC when he was on that line, and you could definitely see where the strong point was.
Yeah.
He just created so much separation and explosion off the line.
Yeah.
He was ginormous. I think he was like 6'7".
He was a big guy. I'm not entirely sure when he went to the NFL. I'm actually curious. I'm going to look it up as we are talking to see.
Sure.
There, 2012, he was a first-round pick. So he was there. Yeah, he was there when I was there.
Gotcha. Yeah, him and Brian Cushing were always a couple of my favorite USC guys. I liked Mike Clayton also. Yeah, early 2000s college football, college sports in general. Some of those USC teams up with Taj Gibson, basketball wise.
Yep, that was my. I was there for that. I was there for
OJ Mayo.
Yep, I was there for Mayo. I was there for DeRozan. I was there for Taj Gibson. I was there for Vucevic. I was there for all those guys at SC. They had Tim Floyd, who was obviously a really good coach.
Yeah.
And then they also, and now of course I'm blanking on his name, the coach that went to Arizona afterwards, that had glasses. I don't know why I'm forgetting his name. I want to say it's obviously not Miller because that's who's there.
Andy Einberg or something.
No, I forget who it was. I'm sure if I could look it up as we're talking, but they had some good coaches. Yeah.
Can't know everything. That's definitely not. It wouldn't be a sports betting podcast if I didn't ask. Do you partake in wagers? Like, do you ever get into that other than fantasy? Or did you make any wagers this year?
I enjoy my time at the sports book. Not legally allowed to bet as an NFL employee. When employed by NFL, not allowed to. But I follow the lines. Follow, obviously, play fantasy sports, and I do enjoy myself a sports book when I am in Vegas.
Sure. Yeah, that's I didn't even think about that. That's a good point there.
Kevin O'Neill's the coach, by the way, that I was thinking of. It was
Kevin O'Neill.
Tim Floyd from 05 to 09, and then Kevin O'Neill from 09 to 13. So those were my two coaches when I was there.
They had an Elite Eight run in that time span.
Sweet 16.
Okay.
Yeah, that was, I believe, the year that They ended up losing to North Carolina, I believe it was, in the Sweet 16.
Yeah. Same tournament, I believe, that BYU had Jimmer Fredette doing his thing.
That makes sense.
Man, I was so excited for this year's tournament. But that's old news. Water under the bridge. We don't need to be sappy now.
Yeah, nothing we can do now. It's funny. This is the first year probably where I followed zero men's college basketball. I knew so little and could not name probably more than one or two players on any given team.
Wow. Okay. I mean, you were pretty enveloped in the women's broadcast. So, I mean, you were going all over and working with that. So.
Yeah, there's only so many sports you can follow. I mean, with Premier League obviously is going from August all the way until May. So there's that every single weekend as well. And that's from 4:30 in the morning until about 11:30. So you got that and then got time I got to spend with my now wife. So there's only so much time.
That's a requirement.
Sports. Exactly.
I think that's in the contract or something.
Yes, exactly. That is what I had to agree to when we exchanged vows.
They snuck that in there.
Yep.
You cover a lot, like you said. As far as maybe something that you're looking forward to adding to your plate or something that's already on your plate but needs a little more development, maybe an upcoming piece or a sneak preview of something that you are eyeing out as far as some data, media, just something you've got your eyes keen on right now that you're looking forward to digging into?
It's a good question. I actually don't have an answer because I'm actually kind of at a crossroads trying to figure out if I want to continue with the broadcasting or if I want to go with the full-time route because NFL, obviously, as cool as it is, probably don't want to be a media manager for the rest of my life. So trying to figure out where exactly I'd like to go, and I would – like to stay in podcasting. I really enjoy doing it and talking. I mean, for the Hoopball Clippers podcast, getting a chance to talk to the likes of Brian Seaman, the TV voice, Noah Eagle, the son of Ian Eagle, who's the radio voice, the guys who cover the teams, a guy like Jovan Buha, for example, Andrew Greif, getting a chance to talk to those guys is a blast. So I definitely want to try and continue doing the broadcast stuff in some way or another and kind of we'll see where it takes. I mean, I don't know. I'd like to get involved in fantasy sports in some way. Obviously, there is the hoopball thing that I'm involved in, but maybe even further, doing more with it. But yeah, I mean, I enjoy doing the hoopball stuff with Dan. We had a show on Monday that set your lineup show, and then obviously the Hoopball Clippers podcast as well. So we'll see.
Well, I hope all the best smooth wishes for you coming out of this weird transition that we're all about to make.
Yeah.
As someone that's always been very interested in broadcasting or just relaying or, you know, giving information to people in a sports arena since, you know, I've, you know, been kind of twiddling with the same kind of thing as far as where I come out of this on the other end of COVID-19 and my career trajectory and such. And I was thinking about this podcast broadcast thing, call it like a podcast and maybe buy a radio station or something. I don't know. Just spitballing here.
You never know. You never know. Big dreams, big opportunities. You never know.
Sure. But I just gave my idea out to all of you guys so you can cash in on it.
And now it'll be stolen while you sit at home.
Yeah. Hey, if I can do some good for someone, then that's all that matters. So anyways, well, hey, Brandon, you know, I talked about some of the stuff that you, you know, you're going to be kind of looking forward to within the next, you know, few months for you. We capped on some stuff that I was real excited to pick your brain about, some of those Clippers teams. And, you know, again, I just want to make sure that the listeners do know where they can find you. And that is at BD Marcus on Twitter. Also, with hoop-ball.com, Hoopball Clips, at Hoopball Clips on Twitter, at Hoopball Fantasy. You're all over.
I try to, man. I try to dabble in whatever I can. And between fantasy and Clippers, probably my two biggest loves when it comes to sports are those two things, the Los Angeles Clippers. And I just, I get obsessed with fantasy sports, man. It's once you're in, you're in. And it's,
you got to be
successful. I did Fantasy Premier League for the first time 3 years ago. I really had not watched a Premier League game. And then all of a sudden now I can tell you pretty much entire starting 11 for all these different teams. So it becomes a way where you get to learn a sport even more and get to know more about a sport because of fantasy. It makes you know guys who don't get mentioned that are lower tier players. For example, a guy like Christian Wood that the normal NBA fan base wouldn't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to, you know, be resourceful for myself and dig and tap into your resourcefulness of the EPL because once that season gets rolling and stuff and there's wagers to be made on it, I'm going to need some in detail nitty gritty as far as players, substitutions, total on corners that they possibly can kick, some offensive metrics, all that.
Happy to come on, man. Once that Premier League season gets going, I'd be happy to come on and chat Premier League.
We'll just do a EPL takeover.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they come back successfully. I think they tested about 500 people, and they came out today, and I think there were 6 positive tests from 3 different teams. So it's really not much at all. So we'll see what ends up happening as they get closer to actually starting. But they're now having their small workouts, a couple of players at a time. So slowly but surely, they're getting back into it.
When is the season? I think you might have said it earlier, but it's typically starts in August. Is that what you said? Okay. And it runs through – I mean, it's almost for like a full calendar year.
Yeah,
it's a long
time. It was supposed to end on Sunday.
Wow.
It was supposed to be the last day that I believe.
And then in between all that, there's obviously the Champions League and all the other stuff.
Yeah, correct. And Champions League final was supposed to be in a couple weeks. So between that and then obviously during the season, they play the various cups, whether it be the Carabao Cup, the League Cup. They have the Champions League. There's so many different things that are going on throughout the season. And then they have the time away for the international friendlies and also the qualifying for the World Cup. So there's lots of soccer no matter what. I mean, there can be a weekend where there may not be no Premier League, but the reason why there's no Premier League is because they're going and playing for their countries and doing stuff like World Cup qualifying.
Yeah, one of the cups I've always really, really loved was the CONCACAF. I just love the Central American teams for some reason. That run that Chile had in the World Cup a couple World Cups ago, that was fun. El Salvador and Colombia, they've always had a fun, quick team. And then, you know, obviously there's Brazil down in South America.
I grew up actually rooting for Argentina because my nanny growing up was from there. So the likes of Messi and then Maradona coaching them. It was a team that I definitely followed. And between Suarez and Messi, they've always had a pretty good team.
I can watch Maradona footing and juggling highlights for many of hours straight. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and now you can watch highlights of play or coaches stepping in front of him as he's starting to do drugs on the sideline. So he's an interesting cat.
That was also prevalent in his soccer career.
Yeah, he's an interesting
cat. For those of you who don't know, he was goofy. He was the goofiest one. He was actually at an Argentina match recently within the last year, I think it was, and the camera showed him, and he looked like he was just partying, having a good time like always. Yeah. Just had his long hair and family and friends around him. The whole stadium kind of erupted when they showed him. It was awesome.
Yeah, he's a nut job.
Yeah. He scored a lot of goals.
Yep.
Somehow. But, well, hey, Brandon, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this. It was a really fun blast of a time, and I, you know, like we were just talking about some soccer stuff, you know, it'd be cool to have you back on to do that, but even more so maybe some more basketball stuff, you know, talk about some NFL things, you know, once that all seems out and everything might turn back to normal here soon, and then we'll have so much to talk about.
Yeah, happy to come on whenever you need it, man. This is a fun time. It was great to finally actually meet you virtually as we do this via Google Hangout, but it was fun doing it.
Yeah, I can't thank you enough, and hope everything is going great out there in California, and hope you have a great rest of the week. Listeners, everybody, you guys take care. I'll see you on the next one, and Don't forget to follow all of us at DALA77, at BD Marcus, at Hoopball Gaming, at Hoopball Fantasy, at Hoopball Clips. And then just go from there. You'll find a rabbit hole of all of us. So bye, guys. Take care.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.